Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All those things we did not get to during the course of the show today, like Betty Rock making some very insensitive jokes about Andre Bocelli and his son when we heard him singing.
Matteo
Bocelli. We just watched that on Mark and Kelly.
He's so good.
And Betty said some horrible things.
I said, no, I did not.
You did. And you, for the record, you made me laugh. Like, I thought it was really funny,
okay,
but I felt guilty.
Let me stop you
well,
here.
What?
Let me stop you here.
What?
Honest, truthful.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Betty Rock said some distasteful things about Bocelli's son.
I'm not sure.
No, see, it wasn't me. It was Wally the whole time. I know you don't find that hard to believe. He said some terrible things.
Oh, the things. I actually kind of, it's funny because I wanted to start a bit called That Was My First Reaction, like a one-off on the show. But the whole point of it is saying that thing that's like jarring or shocking, and it just won't work there, you know?
You know what I'm hoping?
What?
You remember when you were like, oh, I could do stand-up, and then you did stand-up, and it was horrible?
Yes.
I'm hoping.
I know, I didn't do stand-up at a club where people were built to laugh. I did it in front of you guys that were sabotaging
me. And thank God you didn't,
no,
because that would have been even
the thing
more
is,
embarrassing.
I've pulled it off in front of crowds before. Like, you guys were not a friendly crowd.
Sure.
I've killed
before.
Let me
get to my point.
Yes, what is your point?
Let me get to my point.
Let her talk.
I hope that when all is said and done, and God is like, hey, I'm going to judge the world, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Golly.
Okay, so when you get up, when it's your turn, he's going to be like, Wally, instead of judging you, what I want you to do is do a stand-up.
Yes.
Okay, stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And we're all of us Christians are going to be standing around watching and listening.
Yes.
And it's going to be you having to re-say all these horrible jokes that you made. Then, you're like, come on, well, what?
But then it's tough because the people in the crowd who laugh, probably it's a red flag.
Right, yeah, they're in trouble too.
If we're in the crowd, you kind of have to like hold it in.
Yeah.
And if you don't find it funny, you go to
no
heaven.
One's going to be laughing.
That's the thing. Like, I wish.
Crickets.
I like, if I was doing stand up, I wish I could be like Nate Bargatze and be like, oh, he's super clean and just funny. I think my sense of humor is really dark and really dark. And so, like,
and really dark.
Yeah. And for me, I like seeing people's reaction to the dark thing. And like, so, and Betty earlier today in the show too, I said something and I wasn't even trying to be dark. She's like, you're just waiting for my reaction. I didn't hear what you said, but I know you're just waiting for my reaction. And you're true about like my humor is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't a time when I was trying to do that. But anyway, I'm sure the Bocellis will forgive you. So
I'm going to retell the joke and I want people to see if they think it's funny. If you don't know who Andre Bocelli is, the guy is blind. No, you think it's funny.
I don't think we should tell your joke.
My joke? The guy is blind. Okay. He's like an opera musician or something.
Opera star.
And he's great.
He's one of the best in the world.
But he's blind.
Is he alive?
And so his son, Matteo, was on Kelly and Mark.
And he's not doing really well.
And he sang a song that was something about like chasing stars. I'm not sure.
It's a bad song.
It wasn't a good song. But Wally said.
One of us said.
No, Wally said, I bet Andre is saying, God, why couldn't you have made me deaf instead? So I didn't have to listen to my son.
My big disappointment of a son, I think you said.
I didn't say that.
Look.
That's a horrible thing to say.
I understand that it's wrong and you don't want to take credit for it. For the record, you made me laugh. And so thank you for that. It's okay.
He could not say honest, truthful on that,
and so
you know it's not me.
It's okay. It's okay, Rock. Like, I don't like to take credit for everything, you know? So I'm proud of you. For what it's worth, I'm proud of you.
I didn't say
I hope I get a hate mail about you. That would make my day. All right, let's move on to some things. Speaking of other first reactions, I wish I could do that bit on the show, but I don't think we can. This was a weird story out of San Francisco. Kevin Hines, he's a guy that he said he regrets jumping off of San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge the moment his hands released from the rail, and he plunged basically 25 stories into the ocean.
Wait, he
and
jumped
he broke
on
his
purpose?
Back. Yeah, yeah, he was trying
was
to kill himself.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah, he tried to kill himself.
Because hitting water from that high up is just hitting...
It's like hitting cement.
A surface.
Exactly.
It's not like you're just plunging into a... pool.
So he breaks his back. It was a suicide attempt at 19 years old.
Oh.
And he said he struggled with bipolar disorder, and he's one of about 40 people that have survived jumping off of the bridge. So only 40 people.
That's sad that we have that kind of statistic.
Well, I know. Well, see, that's the thing. Well, you know, something's being done about that. There are now suicide prevention barriers being set up on San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. They started talking about this about 10 years ago, and they finally got it green-lighted. They're installed. It's basically stainless steel mesh nets that go out about 20 feet on each side, so you couldn't run and jump over it. So if you were to jump off the bridge, you would land in this net. And Hines says that he's glad the nets are being put there because it would have saved his life or put his plans a little bit on hold, and maybe he would have gone a different path. But what's really interesting about this is his path, though, led him to being a suicide prevention advocate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so out of this crazy negative in this place he was in, he did manage to turn it into something positive for other people, which I think is really great. And see, here's the thing. Like, this is where my first reaction is. Because my first reaction is to go, why are we as taxpayers going, hey, we're going to put, you know, these nets on the bridge to keep people from killing themselves? That's insane. You know, like, to spend that kind of money, millions and millions of dollars, to do that, like, how many people could it actually be? So that was the first thing that, like, went through my head. So then I did a little digging, and I looked into it. And the other part of this is, so that was my first reaction. But my second reaction was, boy, I'm actually glad that we value life enough to do this, because I don't think the number is that high of people that have killed themselves. Because it is, honestly, it's a suicide destination. Like, people go there to end their lives.
That's crazy.
So here's what I found out. That 2,000 people have jumped off of the bridge since 1937. So it's been a long time, 86 years.
That is a little bit lower.
Exactly.
Of a number than I would expect.
And so then my thought was going through, like, well, I'm thinking, okay, 86 years of this, and it's, you know, 2,000 people. But then I start thinking about it. On average, it's 23 people a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts you into, well, that's a lot of people, actually, you know, every year. And so, again, I'm glad that we value human life enough to say this is important. Now, I would argue that the nets are not the be-all, end-all, that we should be doing things with mental health, you know, access to health, good mental health, so that people don't get to this point. And then what's to say you jump off the side and you end up in this net, then why don't you just keep going and jump off the net?
I would say, though, if it's difficult to, you know, run or crawl over that net, hopefully maybe there's time when they're struggling where their mentality is, oh, shoot, like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm struggling to get to the edge. Whereas if they jump off, they can't do anything after they've done that. But after they jump off, maybe there's a mentality of, oh, there's time for that person to come back to their
change
senses.
Their mind. Well, that's what the Hines guy said, the Kevin Hines guy said. He said, as soon as my hands left the rail, I regretted the
decision.
I think
that's what a lot of people probably end up feeling. I don't think people want to experience the death. I think a lot of people want to not have to go through their pain anymore.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, that is the thing. And you know, it's why I do believe it's why we love sleep so much, and why sleep and depression are so linked, is because it's the safe version of that. Like, you go to sleep and you stop hurting, you know, and
you can be out of it for a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. But then when you wake up and it's all right back there, that's where people keep struggling through it.
Y'all know the Natchez Trace Bridge?
Yeah.
They put like some guardrails up.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's even a little plaque up there that says something like,
hopeful message.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. That's I haven't seen that. Have you been there?
I wanted to see it. I didn't go there to make a rash decision. I went there to see it.
I didn't know if we needed an intervention. I'm just asking questions. I'm asking questions. Look, she's making dark jokes over here. And
I am not. That's you.
I don't think so. Gavin didn't hear it that way. Anyway.
My story? I have two.
Oh, you do? Let's do your two then. I have one that was surprising, but I can hold it for tomorrow.
There is a family in Pittsburgh that experienced a devastating loss.
Wow. I hope it actually is not a horrible story, Gavin.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's all thanks to their pet potbelly pig, Albert. So Albert is a well-loved, very spoiled family member that lives outside in a fenced-in area. He even has his own TikTok that's gotten a lot
of followers. Albert the pig, okay. Mm-hmm.
But when Pittsburgh weather was predicted to get rough, the family wanted to make sure Albert stayed warm, yep. But it backfired, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I had added extra hay for him because I knew it was going to snow. He had a little heat light there in the front, and he must have knocked his hay into the heat lamp and caught the house on fire.
Oh, no.
It's terrible.
That is terrible.
Now, thankfully, the family, they're all okay. They were able to escape, but they did lose two pet cats. In the fire.
That Albert hated, for the record. Albert's like, I'm getting these cats.
And Albert, he suffered burns and smoke inhalation.
That's going to hurt the bacon.
Stop.
That's sad.
And this is sad, too. So the family has been forced to have to rehome Albert.
No!
Because they have to move, too. They can't live in that home. I mean, okay.
It's
that much damage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so they're having to find a different home. So they're going to have to rehome Albert.
Oh.
And they showed, a video of him, and it was so sad because he's just on his little hay bale, and there's, this burnt house stripes. Yeah. It's just sad. Like, he was just trying to stay warm.
Poor little guy got to look at his future. That's a bummer.
It's terrible.
Oh, that is horrible. That is a sad story. Especially, after I visited my daughter's boyfriend's family, their house. They have pigs. They got tons of pigs. Mm-hmm. And I got to pet some of them. They are cute. Made me go, if you could keep them little, like the little tiny ones.
Mm-hmm. Like a little piglet.
Yeah, a little piglet. They're kind of cool. Pigs. They have huge pigs. Huge
what
ones.
What for?
They're kind of scary. Just
for what you would think they're for.
Oh, for
extra,
eating?
Yeah, bacon.
Extra.
Why don't they just...
They raise them because they have a farm. And so they raise them and then they don't slaughter the pigs themselves. They sell them to other people. Oh. That's what they do.
That'd be so hard. So, yeah. You wouldn't want to get attached. Like, I would be the girl in Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
I would be the one that's like, but it's Wilbur.
Yeah.
Wilbur.
You can't name them. Yeah. You can't.
They'll get attached.
Yeah,
That's why we have cats and dogs and birds and fish and proper things that you should have, that you can have at your home, get attached to.
That people look down on you for eating.
Supposed, yeah.
So those are the best kind of pets. That's why we have those pets.
Don't get a pig. That's what,
so sad.
The trauma he has to hear.
Poor little Albert.
Where is he going, though? Is he getting his,
I don't know. It didn't say.
That farm that my parents sent our dog to when I was
younger. Maybe they're going to send him to a little farm Spencer's parents' place.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't end well either.
Well, that's true, too. I don't know. Okay, second story.
Yay.
If you didn't know, for a decade now, Kim Kardashian has had her own mobile app game. It's called Kim Kardashian Hollywood.
It makes sense, when apps were, really coming out with celebrities and stuff like that. It makes sense that she would have one, but I don't remember it. I haven't heard it. I don't think.
Yeah, it's been out for a decade.
Yeah.
And it's, you're like, well, what does the game have to deal with? Well, it's a chance for her fans to play in a virtual world where your virtual self gets the chance to accompany Kim around Hollywood to hit the hottest clubs, flirt.
We get to flirt.
Yeah, and fall in love. You and your friends can even compare fashion styles and see who can become the bigger celebrity. So if that gaming concept...
It's called Kim Kardashian Hollywood?
Yes.
I'm getting it now.
I don't know if you can. So they're actually taking it off the market. Market. Yeah.
No.
So if that gaming concept sounds ridiculous to you, you'll be angry to know that the game earned Kim $1.6 million in just the first 5 days it was launched.
Oh, wow.
I know it's an odd concept for a game, but it just goes to show her fans were like, I don't care. I want to live in a virtual reality with Kim.
Yeah.
Thanks to the in-app purchases called K-Stars.
Okay.
So they help players progress through the game by gaining virtual fans, acting, modeling, and making club appearances.
That sounds like the most boring game ever to me.
Well, I agree. But if you're one of those people that downloaded the game, you'll be sad to know that, like I said earlier, the virtual world you built is coming to an end. Kim released a statement saying her decision to end the app game was because she wants the focus and energy used on the game to now be put on other passions. Mm.
Other passions?
There's no way that anyone is still playing that game. Like, there's no way.
I don't know. Uber fans out there.
Yeah.
Probably.
They've really all leveled up and they can't believe it's going to go away.
I bet it was kind of like, what was that? Was it Farmville?
Oh,
like
sure,
it was huge
came
at one point.
People were
virtual farmers.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. It's just changing the characters and the scenery from a farm to Hollywood.
I don't like
and
any
the farmer
of those.
To Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, like I don't like any of the Sims and stuff like that. Like
just live life. I mean, it's just living everyday life. It's not even so much more grand. At least the Kardashian game has a little bit more of a grandiose element to it of celebrities and Hollywood and
I remember you guys remember the band Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Journey, great band. Like, I still love, like, the other day, my wife and
boy
I, when we were, no.
Yes. Yes, it
do
was.
Do me a favor. Can, whatever's near you, just hit him with it. I don't care what it is.
No, I think, the no, more I think solid, now the better. That is funny. That's a funny joke, Kevin.
So, like, back in the day, like, I loved everything by Journey.
Of course, and you're a big boy band fan.
Yes. I'm a,
you made one, right? Yeah. Your own?
Have their poster?
No, they had a video game, a help
no
Journey
way.
Get to the concert stand-up video game that you would play in arcades, like right next to Tron and Dig Dug and all that other stuff. And the music for it's great, obviously, but
obviously.
The game itself is horrible. Like, there's this one thing where...
Now, yes, I own it.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Each of the members, like, had something they got to do. Like, the drummer, you see him, he bounces off of different drums up in the air to try to get to a thing. Yeah, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Now, that being said, if I was at a video game auction and it came up for auction, I would get that. I would get Kangaroo. I spent hours playing Kangaroo and Shinobi. Shinobi was this karate thing, and it like I played that for hours and hours and hours. We would do band practice, and then we would go to this arcade.
Of course, you
I
would.
Know we were so cool. Christian bands rule, and so I was
Heaven's Fire. Look it up.
Yeah, and then I would play Shinobi for hours and loved it.
If you had to just ballpark it, how much money would you say you spent at an arcade in your lifetime?
Oh, gee. Not as much as a lot of people because I didn't have a lot of money when I was younger. And so, but I spent what I had. I mean, over the course of years, $1,000, you know, dollars or something.
Play
easy.
It, and all of it on Journey. He's
like,
it was a lame game.
Oh, I know.
But his name is still the top one in the arcade game.
Oh, it better be. Those three initials better be mine. I also had this weird thing, too, where I had a trunk full of stuffed animals. And so, it was weird. So we would leave band practice and we would go to 7-Eleven and get a hot dog. And then I would always play Skill Crane because I got like really good at it. I could beat
the thing where you can like make the claw come down.
Yeah, I got really good at it. And so I like would win and I got all these stuffed animals in the trunk of my Trans Am. And so I'm like, well, what do I do with these? So I made pants out of them. I made like a pair of rock, like stage pants with all these stuffed animals on my pants.
I've known you for 16 years.
This is the first year hearing of this.
And I am just now.
Is there photographic?
Like, yeah, is there photos of it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Does your mom maybe know?
I know.
Did your mom make them?
I think she helped me. Did she help me make those? I think she might have. Yeah, I think my mom helped me make those because I couldn't sew.
Mother-son bonding time.
Yeah. I think my mom helped me make those. Yeah, a whole bunch of pants on them.
And you say you had trouble with the girls.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right?
Can you just to double check? Because I kind of was listening, but I was also watching the Journey arcade game.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty great, right?
It looks like garbage.
Yeah, it is.
What was the stuffed animals that you turned
into pants?
Pants?
Yeah. Like basically, it was a pair of pants, a red pair of pants.
Yeah.
And then I had stuffed animals sewn all over them so you couldn't even see the pants.
Oh, so
they
you
were
wouldn't
just
even
animals.
Like get the stuff out of them,
no.
Stuffing out of them. You would just sew them onto the pants.
I think.
Wow. What was the
I
point
think,
of that?
Just to be different, but I think Flea. Look up Flea Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think he had a pair of pants like that,
and you
and
used
maybe
him
that's where
as your role model.
I think like look up Flea stuffed animal pants. I might have gotten the
it's
idea from him.
It's a fill in here. Oh my gosh!
Is
yeah,
it?
You're right.
Did he have stuffed animal pants?
Look at those things.
Okay, that's what my pants looked like.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. That is so dumb.
You don't understand rock and roll.
Wait, when,
that's rock and roll, I want no part of it.
When were the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Like when? Again,
it's another boy band, Gavin.
No,
but like, I thought that how old are they, and were you inspired by this?
Yeah, probably so.
They came in the late '80s, early '90s.
So you would have been.
Yeah.
But that someone should have said, son.
Yeah.
Or friend.
Yeah.
Or hey, loser.
Yeah. Like that one day
it's not cool.
Like that one day I came in here. Yeah. And I know I was 25 at the time. You know, adult. And I wore a bandana.
Yeah.
Oh, that was dumb.
I would take the bandana over the stuffed animal pants.
But yeah, this is.
But that's rock and roll. That's stage wear. Totally
it's
different.
It's not.
Totally different. Stage gear, you want to be big and over the top. Totally.
I can't believe he did that. Listen, we've got 12 minutes before we've got to get off this thing.
Oh,
We got to make a call. So I hate to ruin your pants debacle.
But I would love if you could ask around family.
If I could find pictures of them, I would bring them in
picture,
for sure.
I think it'd be astounding.
Because I think I kept them, and I think I actually might have worn them to a Radio Disney event when I worked at Radio Disney. Because I think I kept them for all those years.
Can I request that you be buried in them?
Yes.
Can I get a pair for
and
Christmas
they
this year?
Yes. And they wouldn't
be careful what you ask for.
They wouldn't be like the skinny leg either. They'd be the baggy leg.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand that.
And then
that.
Like as he's being lowered in, you take one hand and you put a little biker glove on.
Yeah.
Yes. And a mesh,
tennis glove.
And a mesh top that's like mid-drift.
Hey, man. It's rock and roll. What are you going to do?
Okay.
Okay. Birthdays. Mary wants to wish her 10-year-old daughter, Ellie, a happy birthday. Yay! Saying she's the middle child of three. Has the biggest.
Hey, so was I. Well, not of three, but I was the middle child.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Has the biggest heart. And my little mother hen. Happy birthday, Ellie. Love Mom, Dad, Andrew, and Ivy.
Nice. Happy birthday.
The question is, what's your favorite game? We already know Wally's. His is the Journey arcade.
Journey video game, yeah.
So bad.
Your
they
favorite
literally have
game.
Cutouts of the heads of the characters on these terrible pixelated.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah,
it
100%
so
it's bad.
Bad.
But I would still buy it tomorrow.
I'm not really a video game
when
person.
When was the last time you played a video game?
I couldn't even tell you.
That's crazy.
I like Tetris, but I don't know if that really counts.
My wife told me she read 72 books last year.
Good night.
And I'm like, how? When do you, I mean, you have more time than I do, but how do you read 72 books? And she's like, how do you play Call of Duty for 3 hours? I'm like, oh, touche.
Yeah.
You just read faster. So
I really like card games.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
So there's one that we've been playing called Sky Joe that's really fun.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I love Dutch Blitz.
Yeah, I know you
Dutch
know
Blitz
that.
Is fun.
Is Sky Joe a regular deck of cards, or is it a?
No, it's,
oh, it's
like
a game.
Special.
Oh, yeah.
I love Spicy Uno. So fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about you,
Sky Joe looks cool. Are we talking about games or video games?
Video
you said game.
Video game is going to be Fortnite. That is just and always going to be my favorite.
It's, yeah.
Stop it. Animated though. I think right now favorite game is going to be. Settlers of Catan.
No!
I think, and,
no!
I'm not inherently great at it.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Isn't that for old people?
No, it's
more for
nerdy
nerd people.
Yeah. Oh. Remember Zach used to play it?
Mm.
Yeah. Like Zach,
I've never played it.
Zach and his wife played it, and
sounds
we
horrible.
Went over to their house and played it one time, and I was so bad at it, and I did not care by the end.
I never thought it looked fun. I always thought it looked kind of hard and annoying. And then the first few times I played, I thought it was dumb, and I lost. And I still lose every time, but there is an element of it that is very fun.
You like die of dysentery or something?
Yeah.
What?
I think
isn't that what it is?
I think that you it depends
dysentery.
On it depends
Am I
on who you're playing
else?
With. Yeah, I think you're thinking something else. It depends on who you're playing with. Like if you're playing with people that are into it and like it and you're really good friends with them, it's a good time and you know, it's less about the game.
We have one more. Emmy wants to wish Steffi a happy birthday.
Nice.
She said she loves her God, her family, but especially her little sister.
Oh, that's cute.
That's sweet.
Emmy
question.
And Steffi, I like that. We should start calling Gavin Gavi.
Yeah.
And Betty.
And Betty, yeah.
Love it.
And Wally, yeah. He has to be an E. You got Betty and Wally, you got to have a Gavi.
Yeah. question, and this sounds like it's mainly for Wally. Would you pick going to Disney World every day or a Disney cruise for a whole month?
Oh, Disney cruise for a whole month.
That's
yeah.
not too long.
No, and it would be great because people take care of you and the service is great. 1,000,000,000% that. I don't like, the parks get so crowded.
Hmm.
And that's my wife's thing. I like going for a couple hours, and I've gotten to the point now where I don't even want to ride anything because it's just, I'd rather just walk around. And like the rides take so long for the wait time.
Spend 2 hours just waiting to ride. Yeah. It's a small world. Like, why?
Yeah, if you're going in a busy time when a lot of families have to go because they have spring breaks or whatever, you are spending so much time waiting. You might get like 4 rides in for that day if you don't pay extra bunches of money for the Genie Plus. I as much as it kills my soul to pay for those things, I would recommend to every family going, pay for that.
If you can afford it.
Because you'll get your money's worth it then. If not, you're going to spend the day completely frustrated because you're not going to get to ride half of the things you want to ride. I mean, there was a ride the other day. It was right after Christmas. I think it was around New Year's. And it's called Flight of Passage. It's a great one in Animal Kingdom. It's based on Avatar. It's great. It had a 300-minute wait. Ooh. 300. Do you know what 3 hours is? 180 minutes.
Yep.
Twice that. Almost twice that.
At least it's nice that there are like clocks that'll tell you how long so you can decide. I can't imagine in the past when you just stood there and you're like, well, it doesn't feel like it's going to be that long. Let's just see what happens.
I've been there, and I hadn't ridden that ride before. My wife's like, you have to ride it. We went over Christmas one year. The ride was here, and the line went from that ride, and it went down past that ride, out of that land, because you know how it's broken up into lands, into another land, and into another land after that. I waited almost 2 hours. I was like, I'm never, ever doing that again.
And it's tough because for some, you know, for families, like that's the only time of year that they can get out there, so they want to try.
Kids? Yes.
How do you do it? Just one person stands in line and the rest go and enjoy something?
No. Sometimes people do that.
Make
them
all stand there.
Yeah, sometimes people do that. But once you get into the ride, it's hard because then you've got to catch up to everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're like, excuse me. And people get mad about that. I get it.
I've heard the week after Thanksgiving is a really good week to go if you're going to go for like Disney World.
I think so.
Just because it's, you know, people are back from their vacation. You're not going to take another one between that and Christmas. I could see maybe trying to do that someday, which maybe not a popular thing to do for
My wife knows when to go, and so like we will go in off times, except when we're going to see Haley, and then we just like everybody else, we're waiting in line.
Have you gotten the Genie Pass before?
I have yes, and we've gotten that, and my daughter has a different pass too down there that helps. Mm. And so, because she works there. And so.
Is that different from the Lightning Pass where it's like you just get in a line and
Lightning Lane? They've made it so complicated. It's kind of like that, but then you can pay just for that for certain rides if you want to just ride that one ride. Mm-hmm. But then they have virtual queues where you get in line at 7 a.m, you have to log in for a time to come back and ride it. And then that is just getting you on the ride. They don't take anybody waiting in line. That's how you wait in line, basically. But when you get there, you're like, oh, good, it's my time. Mm-hmm. And you still have to wait an hour. That's what happened to me on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gosh.
Yeah, and
it's not even worth it.
Yeah, but people put up with it, and they're still spending money on it. All the other things that Disney's doing are hemorrhaging money, but the parks are still doing well. Like, they need to cut they need to get rid of Disney Plus. That is draining them. They're actually doing a thing now. If you subscribe to Disney Plus, that you will get the meal plan for free if you stay at a Disney hotel for like 4 nights, which is a great deal. But you have to get park hopper passes, so you're spending a bunch of cash. But you get the meal plan, which is great. But they're just for Disney Plus people because they're trying so hard to make that profitable, and it's just not. They've lost billions of dollars.
It's such a bummer because I really do like the concept personally. Yeah. If I was a parent. I mean, Haley and I, even as like non-parents, we go on there and we watch Bluey. Yep. She loves all of her Disney movies. It's a great package.
I don't know why it's not doing well. I mean, Netflix, all these other guys have figured out I guess Netflix just started making a profit.
I think it's interesting because Netflix, I mean, I can watch a new show on Netflix almost every week, or a new movie or a new reality or a new documentary. But Disney Plus really just isn't throwing a million new shows at you.
Sure.
And they're saying, hey, you know, be content that here's your big Star Wars show, here's your big Marvel show, and then they're not that good.
Yes.
And then there's nothing crazy in between.
Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to shake out, but it's draining the company and killing my stock. So, come on, get it together.
And on that negative note,
thank you for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.